Here we are. It's good to see you this morning. Wow, that was loud. Sorry about that. It's so good to see you. I was sitting there thinking this morning, what a great group of people we have. I used the restroom in the middle of worship and just walked in back. And then I heard Tyler leading worship back there in the youth. And so I popped in there and got to hear a minute or two of that. And Sierra and Tyler leading back there. I thought, wow, what a great group of people the Lord is raising up around here. Musicians and worshipers and leaders and just an awesome community of people. And I'm excited to be a part of that. Pastor Gary is in Zimbabwe this week. And so we're going to pray for him in just a minute here together. But that's why I'm standing here. And so we're gonna just talk a little bit today, have a little conversation about Jesus. Is that all right? I like to talk about Jesus. And man, I'll tell you what, this week, just kind of getting ready for this morning, it's just been such an interesting week. You know, I so want to share the heart of the Lord when I talk. I just don't want to talk, you know? Nobody needs to hear Josh Thompson talk, and except for my wife. She likes to hear me talk, usually. And anyways, it's been an interesting week because as I've written some things down, every time I wrote them, I just kept feeling like, that's not quite it. Do you ever feel that when you're preaching? You know what I mean. You know what I'm talking about. Just, man, like that's a piece of it and that's a part of it, but that's just not it. And even before bed last night, I was laying there and I've worked and I got these like 10 pages of notes and all that stuff. And just still feeling like, man, I just know, Lord, that there's something, some specific things in your heart that you want to release tomorrow, today. And I just want you to pray for me. Is that okay? Because I really do believe, I'm not trying to super spiritualize it, or I'm not feeling any pressure about it, because anything that good that's happened, it comes from the Lord, right? So it's not me, it's the Lord. But I really do believe that the Lord has specific things He wants to say to this group today. So why don't we just grab somebody's hand and let's just pray, and pray for me. Just kidding. Who's going to start? No, I'm just kidding. Oh, Lord, help me. I pray for me right now. I'm just kidding. No, I do, Lord. I do pray for me. And I ask that God, you would just release your heart through me. I feel weak today. I feel like, God, it is going to be your strength in my weakness today. And Lord, we really want to hear your heart today. Want to hear your word to help us to live, to help us to walk in your way, to grow in you. And I just ask, Lord, that there would be a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you better through this conversation that we have in the next few minutes, God. And I ask you just to do that. Father, we pray for Pastor Gary. He's in Zimbabwe today, Father. We just ask your protection over him today, that you will protect him in everything that he does, where he places his feet, the words that he says this morning as he ministers. I don't even know what time it is there, God, but you do. And I pray that you will just be with him. I pray that you will give him specific words to say, and that they will be released, Father, and received. I thank you that you're going to use him to change that entire city. You're literally giving him keys to that place, and I pray that those keys will turn in those doors even today. In these next days as he is there, we ask that you would bless him, Father. We thank you for him. We thank you for his leadership and his love for us and his love for you, Lord. We ask that you be with his whole family and keep them all safe and keep them at peace in the midst of this time of him away. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I've been thinking about this quite a bit over the last couple of months, this idea of how should we live? And it's a real practical idea. Last time I talked with you last month, I shared a couple of weeks, and it was along the same lines. And it was this idea of how do we live? Like, how do we really do life with the Lord? How do we do life walking with him? And I've been thinking about it quite a bit. And I was just yesterday thinking about how life is such a journey, isn't it? It's a journey. It's not an event. It's a journey. And it starts really young. And it's a gradual, and it's not overnight, it's not immediate. And I'm aware of this more and more as I have small children. And it's funny, the other day I was hanging out with Olivia in her room, and I was like, is something wrong? And she said to me, I said, well, tell me what's wrong, baby. Something bothering you? And she said, I don't want to tell you because you're going to tell people. So thus my stories are over. Because you all have been telling her what I've been telling you. Bad people. I can't share any more funny stories about Olivia because she's embarrassed by it. So I'm not going to talk about her specifically. If I speak about her, it'll be in general terms. She's 5 now, you know. And that's like 14. So, but I'm really aware of this, you know, this growing up and this journey of life as I look at my 2 little kids. You know, I remember bringing Olivia home from the hospital to the house that we live in right now 5 years ago. And, you know, she couldn't do anything except for scream. She had colic for like 6 months. We didn't know what to do. We ended up having her sleep in her car seat and turning the vacuum on to get her to sleep. I mean, it was just like crazy, but she couldn't do anything. Now Olivia can feed herself. She can brush her own teeth. She can wipe herself. She can walk down the stairs. You know, she buckles herself in the car seat and she carries on conversations on her own now. And in a few months, she's going to kindergarten. And that time has just flown by. But I think about the development and the journey that that's been and how, you know, I can remember when she couldn't talk and it was like, oh my gosh, this kid just screams. I don't know what to do with her, you know. And Emmy, you know, she's 19 months. And she's growing more and more independent by the minute. And she likes to say the word no. It's amazing. She like says it to everything. And it's not just no, it's no. And so we were sitting around the table the other day, and we were just kind of having dinner, and after dinner we were sitting there, kind of the four of us, and we started asking her questions, and everything she gave an answer to was no. So I thought, oh, this will be funny. So I said, you know, I thought for some good laughs, I'll just be like, do you love mommy? No. Do you love daddy? No. Do you love Jesus? No. Are you a Christian? No. I said, do you love Pastor Gary? Yes. I kid you. I don't know how Pastor Gary ranks up there above mom and dad, but somehow he does. It was just absolutely hilarious that she said that. But it surprises me every day, you know, what she learns and what she says and the things that all of a sudden surprise me that she's grown in. And I was thinking about that and you know, I'm watching this process and I'm not wishing that they get to 20, you know, overnight. Some days, you know, you kind of like them to be 20 for like a day just to knock off the screaming and the naughtiness. But I guess people are naughty at 20 too, right? Just in a different way, which that'll be interesting too with 2 girls. But, you know, I just thinking about this journey and expectations and walking through, and I don't have these expectations that they grow up overnight or that they are perfect or that they do all these things. And I was thinking about that in relationship to how we live and how we grow in the Lord. And I think there's a lot of similarities in that. And so all of that to say today that we're on a journey, and we're on a long journey with lots of twists and turns, a journey that involves lots of change, lots of growing, and we need each other. Don't we? We really do. In the last couple of weeks, just more and more, I've just been thinking about how much we need each other. How much we need each other on this journey in the Lord. You know, we're all at different stages. We're at different places in our walk with the Lord. You know, yesterday I ran into a woman at the grocery store who just came up to me and shared her heart. She, you know, I was checking out. I don't know how, you know, you can't check out very quick, you know, share your heart too much in the checkout lane. But she was going through some unbelievable stuff. She just said it in 30 seconds. And I was thinking about all the things that she was going through. And I walked out of there just kind of numb because of disaster that's happened in her life. And I was thinking, that woman is really, really going through it. And she needs the body. She needs the community of people here. And how many more people that I didn't run into at the grocery store that really need the body of Christ and need Jesus. And I just want to give an encouragement today that, you know, if you're at a place in your life today where you kind of feel like you've lost your way, maybe you don't know what you know anymore, and you don't even know what end is up, I want to tell you that it's okay. That you don't have to have it all together today. That Jesus wants to walk through this journey with us. And he doesn't expect you overnight to become something that you're not. And he certainly doesn't expect you to do it on your own. That he wants to walk through life with you. And all of us as a community of believers, we are growing in that way of doing that with each other as well. So I want to tell you it's going to be okay because we're going to look to Jesus. I've got several scriptures and several things that I just want to share with you this morning. And been thinking a lot about Jesus. You know, the scripture that says he's the way, the truth, and the life. We think a lot about that in terms of, you know, the truth of Jesus. He's the truth, right? We're always talking about truth and he's the life. But it's easy not to look at him being the way. And I really want us to focus our hearts on Jesus being the way today. That he is not only the truth, but he's the way in which we walk out truth. He is the way in which we follow him and his Father. And it's he isn't just setting us here to walk this life out on our own. He is saying, I want to partner with you and I want to walk you through this. I'm not setting you here for a bunch of religion to try and figure it out and do this, that, and the other thing. I want to walk with you and I want to show you the way because I am the way. And so he said in John 14, you don't have to turn there, I think it'll be on the screen behind me. John 14:6, the scripture we all know, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, no man comes to the Father except by me. He's not only the truth and the life, but he's the way. And we can't skip the way of Jesus to get to the truth or the life of Jesus. Have you ever read the Message Bible? Eugene Peterson, he translated that. It's a paraphrase Bible. And I was recently reading a book by Eugene Peterson, and he says this in it, and it's really powerful. It kind of opened my eyes to this. This quote says, the way of Jesus is the way that we practice and come to understand the truth of Jesus. Living Jesus in our homes and workplaces with our friends and family, only when the Jesus way is organically joined with the Jesus truth do we get the Jesus life. And if Jesus is the way, then I want to suggest to you today that how we do things matters. That it's not just about getting saved and going to heaven. It isn't about an event. It's about the journey, the way in which we walk with Jesus, the way in which we interact with each other, a way of life. Jesus gives a clear call in Mark 8. You've all heard this, and it's been taught many times since we were kids. In Mark 8:34, he says, follow me. He says, go ahead, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Isn't it interesting? Jesus doesn't beat around the bush, does he? He's not saying, all of a sudden, in 30 seconds, I want you to be completely like me. He's saying, follow me in the way that I live, deny yourself, lay yourself down, take up your cross and follow me. This completely following Jesus is really going to take us doing it, though, in community. And that's what I want to encourage you today. That this isn't a go-it-alone kind of a thing. That we need each other. How many are encouraged when somebody shares their struggle? I don't know. Sometimes I get so much more encouragement from somebody's struggle than I do how, like, awesome they're doing. Like, you know, like those people that are like, oh, everything's so awesome and da-da-da-da-da, and you're just feeling like shrinking as they're telling you. I think we need to do this in community. We need to share our struggle and the good things and the victories and the things that are working well for us. But we also need to share our struggle and our walk with each other in this way of community. And I think, church, it's going to really take, you know, the idea of following him is huge. Like, I think we've heard it so much that we don't even know what it means anymore. Like, really following Jesus in the way that Jesus lives? I mean, I could list off 20 things right now that probably would shock us, almost offend us about Jesus and the way he lived, that are so contrary probably to the way that I'm living right now. Do you know what I mean? But it's going to take a reorienting. It's going to take a reconfiguration to a way of life that is all about an obedient following of Jesus. And refocusing our eyes and our lives on Jesus. Eugene Peterson, he also says, to follow Jesus means that we can't separate what Jesus is saying from what Jesus is doing. You know, you can know the right thing, but do it the wrong way. You can have truthful information. For instance, you can say that abortion is wrong and doctors shouldn't perform it, but if you go and kill an abortion doctor, that's probably not good. Not probably, it's definitely not, so don't do it. He says, to follow Jesus is as much or maybe even more about feet as it is about ears and eyes. Meaning the things that we do and the way in which we live. This isn't about making a few prayer meetings. This isn't about just being in a small group for a semester. It's not about leading a small group for a semester. All those things are good. But this today, what I'm talking about is a way of life that follows for the long haul. Bless you, honey. That was my wife, I think. And it's probably going to take some repenting. You know? Like the Jesus way, the Jesus journey, the way he lived, the way he behaved, the way he talked, the way he walked is so far different from the American way. And the thing that's burning in my heart today is that church, it's the time, it's the moment for us to really wake up to the way of Jesus instead of the American way and start really looking into how he lived and what the word says. Say, Jesus, I want to join you on this journey. When's the last time you asked yourself or asked the Lord, you know, what in my life doesn't look like Jesus? You know, I didn't wake up this morning and say, you know, oh God, today reveal to me what it is that doesn't look like you. But you know what? I really think it's a time not to get super introspective and all full of self, but to really ask the Lord, what is it in my life that doesn't look like you? What are the things in me that don't show that I'm really walking with you, that you are my way of life. Amen? Turn to Matthew 5. I just want to read this. I grabbed a couple of these scriptures this morning. And I just want to just read them for shock value. Matthew 5, verse 38. I've touched on this before when I've spoken. I'm just going to read these because the words of Jesus are shocking, but if he is the way, the truth, and the life, he's not only the truth, he's not only the life, but he is the way to the truth, and how we walk that way has to be walked the way that Jesus did, because he wants to show us. We need to pay attention to what he says. Matthew 5, verse 38, he says, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Verse 43 says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Meaning mature to the knowledge that you have. That's a lot of word there, isn't it? That's a lot of like striking difference from our culture. That's a lot of like striking difference from the way in which we live. You know, it's interesting. Have you ever sat at a coffee shop or something like at Panera and sat and listened to conversation? Oh, the things that go on at Panera when you're writing a message. I mean, I almost started jotting them down, but then I thought I could come across with like a judgmental sort of spirit, and I didn't want to do that. But man, hearing people talk about the Lord, and then in like the next second, just lambasting somebody. And nobody even thinks twice. It's amazing. I'm sitting there in the booth in the back corner, and all these things are reverberating in the room. It's like hilarious. There's like five booths, and I'm sitting there and I'm listening to all these different things. And I'm not just listening, I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about people that are clearly, they have their Bibles open on the table. Talking, and don't laugh because you know that you're part of it. And I am too sometimes. I am. I don't want to be. Talking about Jesus. Talking about the things that people have done to them. And then retaliating. It's a wake-up call for us in the church, isn't it? Jesus, the Jesus way is a very different way. And I think it matters in the way in which we talk and the way in which we live. Amen? Can I hear a good amen on that?
Amen.
1 Peter 2:23, don't turn there. It says that Jesus didn't retaliate when he was insulted. He made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. The message today is not about retaliation or even our words, but the point that I'm trying to make is that the Jesus way is shockingly different from the things that we allow to come through our lives and be lived through our lives sometimes, aren't they? It's just very, very different. I surprise myself. I've said that before. I know, I'm surprised. I surprise myself, and I'm surprised by some of the people that I'm around. That we need an awakening to the truth of what Jesus says about how we talk and how we live, and all of us. And let me tell you right now, even as I'm saying this, don't think of someone else. Think about you. When I say this today, I'm not thinking about someone else. I'm thinking about moi. And this is really practical, and you know, I thought I should just give a really like Jesus loves us message. That'll be on Father's Day. But this is ultimately the love of Jesus here. This really is ultimately all about the love of Jesus. And that's how I want this to come forth. Don't think about someone else. Let's ask the Lord, Jesus, help me. Show me the ways in which I'm walking. It's going to take some exploration into the Word, into the Scriptures, into the ways in which He lived. And then we will begin to emulate the ways in which Jesus lives. Does that make sense? Let's turn over to Romans 12. Paul speaks the same sort of language as Jesus when he lifts this call in Romans 12:1. And you've all heard this before. And if there was a text today that was a central text, I would say it would be this. Romans 12, verse 1. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Everybody say living sacrifice.
Living sacrifice.
Holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. You know, I'm hit again. I'm a worship pastor. I lead worship. That's what I do. And I think for a long time I really thought like worship really did have to do with music. And as we all know, and Pastor Gary said it many times, it really doesn't have to do with music, does it? That's just one small aspect of it. But God is looking for our everything. Amen? Got it. Really, in Springfield, Missouri, at Hope Community Church today, June, is it the 6th, 7th, something like that, God is looking for everything. He's not looking for part. He's looking for everything. He wants to consume our entire being. Not in an American way. Not in a Western way. He's wanting to consume us in a Jesus way. And His plan and His intention really is to possess us and consume us, that He would be our everything. This living sacrifice call really is really an issue of lordship in our lives. The issue of surrender to God and the issue of Him being the Lord over our lives. 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says this, you've heard the scripture. It says, you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I am not my own. You are not your own. That can so easily just go right over our heads like, yeah, we know that. We've been bought by the blood of Jesus. You are not your own. When that's said over us, if we really are followers of Jesus, when we say we're not our own, we've been bought with a price, we don't own ourselves anymore. So we don't do and say and live however we want. We could probably stand to spend the next couple of hours just repeating that line. Maybe we should. Should we do that? Go into yoga mode. I am not my own. I am not my own. I am not my own. It might be good to do that in your prayer time for an hour or two, though. Galatians 2:20, Paul says that it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. As I'm reading these, I'm thinking about these scriptures that I've heard since I was like in third grade, taught in Sunday school, all these things that they become more and more and more and more less meaningful to me because I've heard them so many times. And the reality of what they mean escapes me. And I'm asking God to give me a fresh reality. What does that mean? What does that mean to follow Jesus, lay down my life, pick up my cross and follow Him? What does that mean? I am not my own. What does that mean? Jesus, show me on this journey of life. What does that mean again? Remind me what that means again. Remind me what it means again that I don't live, but Christ who lives in me. What does that mean? And how does that translate into Monday morning? Do you know what I'm saying? Like in my heart, I'm saying, I know these verses, I've heard them. And yet, if I'm very honest, some of my life doesn't reflect that, but I want it to. And then I'm reminded that this is a journey and that I don't have to be perfect all in once. That Jesus wants to walk me through it. He wants to walk you through it. He wants to show you what that means, that you don't live anymore, but it's Jesus that lives in you. He wants to. He's not throwing out abstract ideas and saying, I want you to obey. He wants us to obey, but He's not telling us to do it on our own. He wants to lead us into these truths. That Christ has so possessed me that I don't live anymore, but it's Him that lives through me. His love is so great that He purchased you and me with that ultimate love, and then He calls us to offer our entire being. I'm not talking about works. I'm not talking about striving. I'm not talking about religion here. Some of you are looking kind of heavy to me. Is this coming across in any kind of a legalistic way? Because that is not the intention of this at all. At all. This is not about legalism. In fact, I think this has way more to do with Jesus than it has to do with us. His initiative on our lives. But I will tell you, it demands a response. This sacrifice way of living, living sacrificially, our lives being a living sacrifice, does require a response on our part. But it is His initiative to us. You know, some of us, like I said before, just thought that this whole thing was like worship was like music. Some think it's just religion that He wants, meaning follow a few rules, do good, don't do anything really bad. Go to the services, don't lie, don't cheat, say your prayers before your meals and bedtime. Now, He wants everything. He wants everything. And you see, He won't settle for religion. and just good deeds. He won't settle for compartments of our lives. And he won't settle for just parts of us that everyone sees. He won't just take the good parts of us either. He wants to possess the parts of us that no one sees, the parts that no one knows about. He wants to come in there, and Jesus wants to say, let's go on a journey, and let's go on the journey out of there. Let's walk out of those places. I want to lead you into real freedom. And this is so intense today because the love of Jesus is so intense. The intensity of this, your whole life being offered up, is so intense because his love for us is so intense that he wants everything and he wants all. Jesus didn't trick his disciples or anyone else about it. He was straightforward and honest when he said that whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for his sake would find it. But he wants us to invite him into every place of our lives. Enough of the compartmentalizing. The days of compartmentalizing Jesus and the switch going on and off are over. The day has come, and it's always been here, but I feel that call today for us, church, is the day has come to be consumed and possessed by Jesus. He's talking about giving everything to him. A living sacrifice means that we're offering ourselves up continually over and over again, not an event, but our very selves, our very being. I recently read this quote, and I'll just read it here. Are you following me today? It feels like there's tiredness in the air. No? Okay. Okay, some of you are sleeping. I'll never forget this one time I was preaching. It was like one of the first times I ever spoke. And this person, I could see that they were sleeping out there. And I thought, oh no, not when I'm talking. No, I'm just kidding. And so, I'm kidding. And I think the message, I'm totally playing. This message was like about waking up or something like that. And I'll never forget. So this moment, I remember it was bad. Nobody knew it except for me. And this guy was just hunched over sleeping. And I was like, and the Lord wants us to wake up. And the guy jumped. And then he stayed awake, I think, for like another 3 minutes or something. It was so awesome. So if you were sleeping, don't worry about it. Just wake up now, okay? Here we go. So this is a quote that I read that's so good about sacrifice. And it says, sacrifice is a readiness to interrupt whatever we are doing and build an altar. Find whatever we happen to be carrying with us at the moment and place it on the altar and see what God wills to do with it. I want to read it again. Sacrifice is a readiness to interrupt whatever we are doing and build an altar. Bind whatever we happen to be carrying with us at the moment, place it on the altar and see what God wills to do with it. You know, I can't think of a better definition when I think about offering yourselves as a living sacrifice, to be living continually with the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives, to say, whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm living, whatever's going on in my life, whatever I'm carrying, the thoughts, the words, the whatever, I'm ready in season and out of season to offer it as an offering to the Lord. I'm ready to build an altar any moment. The thing, you know, instead of living in frustration about situations and people and circumstances, what if we just decided, I'm not going to be frustrated anymore. I'm just going to build an altar every time I get frustrated. Every time this or that doesn't work out, or somebody else gets ahead of me, or somebody else gets the position, or somebody else gets the guy or the girl, or this or that, I'm not going to get down. I'm not going to get mad. I'm going to just build an altar. I'm going to just sacrifice it right there. Because if I really entrust myself and my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, what else is there to do? Right? What else is there to do? If my life really isn't my own anymore, then like, in some ways, I don't even choose what's going to happen ultimately. I just submit myself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and I say, lead me into what you want me to do. And so every time something doesn't work out, I'm not talking about being defeat or like give up that we don't have a will or there are times to press through in something. But instead of that, why don't we just sacrifice it, build an altar, and see what God wills to do with it? Things that we've held on forever to. Maybe some of them we just need to build an altar again because we're getting so depressed and disillusioned and disenfranchised because this or that hasn't happened. Well, maybe it's just time to build an altar again and just see what he will do with it. Like, that's powerful in my life. I've just come into that a little bit. That I try not to get too frustrated about things anymore because I'm just coming to that place of like, well, whatever. Whatever. Like, my life is in my own. I don't own my life anymore. I was bought. It's over. I have, and you know, you can misunderstand what I'm saying here, but I really do believe, I pray, I don't even pray a ton of specifics in my life. I really just offer my life to the Lord, and he kind of leads me. You know, I've never had a resume. I know that God, a lot of people, the Lord works through resumes. I totally know that. The Lord works through that. But I haven't. I've never had that. I've never tried to make something happen or get a position or any of that. It's just been like, and this isn't because I'm like so great or so holy or whatever. I'm just saying my experience has been, God, you're going to open the doors for me. You're going to make it. And I'm not going to press and bang things to get through. I'm going to just build an altar and lay it before you and see what you'll do with it. And I really feel like that is one specific thing for us, church. It'll minimize your frustration and disillusionment and all the things that don't happen that we think should. Some of those things, it's just a matter of time. But it can't hurt to build an altar and lay them down anyways. And some of those things, maybe we're wrong about. And either way, if we're not our own anymore, the Lord's going to take care of us. Amen? 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 And that is really, I believe, living in real freedom. Ready to interrupt whatever we're caring or doing and see what God wants to do. True followers of Jesus hold loosely to everything except for him. And I really do believe that there's a place in God to hold very loosely to the things around us. I'm not talking about friendships or people, that sort of thing, because we want to hold tightly to people and love on them. But I'm saying just the stuff, to hold loosely to it, hold tightly to him, and he's going to work it all out. That's a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice is daily, not like once a year, but daily saying, God, what do you want? I don't want any of this self-sovereignty. I want the God sovereignty in my life. This lady, you probably don't even know who she is. Her name's Jean Walker. I don't even really know who she is. But she said something very powerful. So you're going to have to listen to this. I read this one to my wife, and it took her like 4 minutes. Sacrifice is slow as a funeral procession in rush hour traffic. It's the sort of word that other words pass while honking. Did you get it? Sacrifice, imagine the word sacrifice in a car. That'll help you out. Is slow as a funeral procession in rush hour traffic. It's the sort of word that other words pass while honking. Sacrificial living is the way in which we mature. It's that lordship issue. It's that continually giving myself over to what the Lord wants by increments. Sacrificial living is slow. It's an altar here, it's an altar there, and then it begins to touch every detail of our lives. And again, I want to remind us that this journey that we're talking about here, when we're talking about how should we live, it's for the long haul. It's not about one or two moments. It's about laying down our lives over and over again, even after we've been hurt and we've been disillusioned. It's saying, my life isn't my own. I'm going to lay it down again, and then we grow. Just like Olivia comes home from the hospital when she's born screaming bloody murder for 6 months, can't do anything. And then now she's 5 and she's about to go to kindergarten. It's the same way with us. There is a development, and it takes sacrifice here, an altar there, a process of growing and continuing to lay things down before the Lord, and then we become more and more mature. This isn't an overnight experience. I want to remind us that, because you shouldn't feel pressure by what I'm saying. I hope you feel vision and you feel encouragement from it, not some pressure to be something spectacular, be the super Christian. David is one who lived a sacrificial life, offering his entire self to God. In Psalm 31, verse 5, David says, Into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus said that as well. And when he says my spirit, I commit my spirit to you, it refers to everything that deeply touches David's spirit, such as relationships, reputation, money, physical well-being, ministry impact, etc. He says in verse 15 of that same chapter, he says, my times are in your hands. Can you say that with me? My times are in your hands, Lord. I mean, that's a passage that we could pray every day. My times, my day is in your hands. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. I commit my life to you today. I really think it could be a good spiritual practice for us, even daily, to get up and say, I commit my life. I commit my times, my days. I'm not my own. Reminding us, you know, if we don't remind ourselves and strengthen ourselves in the Lord in these sort of issues, there'll be no vision for living this way. It'll just be an idea, and then it'll lose its meaning over time. That's how it's supposed to be, but it won't be reality to me or to you. In other words, what David's saying is that my everything that touches who I am, I give over to the leadership of Jesus Christ. And it might be easy, as we're talking about these things, to think about Paul saying these things, to think about David, to think about Jesus. But I want to declare to you today that this is for us too. Amen? This is for normal you and normal me. This is for all of us. This journey, this living sacrifice way of life. There's a place in God for us that's so united in and with Him. And I think it's exciting to think about the places in the Lord that we can go. That we would truly say, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. You know, a footnote to that verse, it's no longer I, but Christ that lives in me, is this that I read. It says, the living acts of a Christian become somehow the acts of Christ. Can you imagine? The living acts of Josh Hay become somehow the acts of Jesus Christ. The living acts of Matt Stevens somehow become the acts of Jesus Christ. And that's the journey. The journey is being more and more like Jesus. And it isn't done in our own strength and our own will. It is by the Holy Spirit. It is by the help of the Spirit, and it is by Jesus leading the way. He's the way because He wants to lead the way. My actions become the actions of Jesus Christ. Some might think, man, my actions are so far from being like Jesus. This is going to take an eternity. I want to tell you, if we just simply will give ourselves to it, and see ourselves as living sacrifices, it'll be quick. Quicker. It'll be quicker than we thought. Because Jesus is going to come in and change us. Jesus is going to come in and He's going to fill us. He's going to change our thoughts and our heart. I believe that this offering ourselves as a living sacrifice of worship is extremely practical. In fact, it's not just an idea or philosophy, but it is a way of living. And I know that the Lord loves extravagant music worship. I walked in here today. I was just sitting here down in the front row, so thankful that we just have that atmosphere of just being with Him. Nobody's manipulating, nobody's controlling, nobody's rushing. We're just able to be with Him. But I also know that in some ways, that's real when the way in which we walk is real. That somehow our prayer time and our worship time translates into likeness of Jesus time. And I'll be honest, it doesn't matter how much we worship or how much time we spend in the secret place if it doesn't translate into my life being a living sacrifice. My life must gradually translate into more and more a likeness of Jesus. In other words, all of this talk about Him living in us, oneness, possession by God, all will translate into everyday real life living. Would you stand with me this morning? As Charity plays, I want us to read a fairly lengthy scripture. Romans chapter 12, where we were, we read verse 1. And I want us to just, I think it'll be on the screen. You don't need to grab your Bibles if you don't want to. I believe in the practicalness of the Word of God so much. And I also believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom and the spirit side coming together is a very powerful thing. We're walking in the Spirit. The Bible says we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Spirit and the wisdom. And I believe that this translates out into everyday real life. How are we going to change the city of Springfield? Does anyone even have a vision for it anymore? It's going to become changed when we become like Jesus. Because we're not going to be able to help ourselves. But it really does matter how we live. And Jesus doesn't, I want to reiterate this. I've said this a few times. Jesus doesn't just say, hey, I want you to go and do all these things that I said and come back and see me when you've accomplished them. He says, this is a journey and I'm going to walk it with you and I want to show you how to live. In Romans 12, starting with verse 9, let's just read it out loud together. It's a real practical passage on the marks of a true Christian. And what I like to do, don't read it yet if it's up there, don't read it yet. What I like to do is I read scriptures, I'll read it, and I'll just be like, would you speak to my heart, Lord? Through this word, let it be living, guide me, lead me. As I'm reading this word, and change me as I'm reading it so that I will become more like you and that this can be a practical thing, not just an idea. I don't want just an idea in my life. I want this to the rubber to meet the road in my life, how this plays out. And so I want to encourage you just to ask the Lord, even right now, as we're reading this, Father, speak to my heart. Let some things that maybe aren't lining up with what this passage says, speak to my heart and show me the way out of those places. Does that make sense? Show me the way out of those places. Show me the way in which to live where I'm not living like what the word says. So here we go. Let's just read it out loud together. It is the English Standard Version. Sweet. Okay, here we go. Verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Say that again. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. I want to repeat that one. That's so good, isn't it? Verse 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, if we're not on a journey with the Lord on this, if we're not offering ourselves as living sacrifices, this is overwhelming, isn't it? You read that and you think, man, there's probably 10 things in there that I really am bad at. But I want to tell you, the Lord sees this. He sees your heart. He sees where you're at. And he says, I want to mature you and I want to grow you. And I want to walk with you because I'm the way. And I want to show you the way of my word. And I want to help you. Isn't that encouraging today? It is so encouraging. The word of God washes over us and it changes all of our wrong mindsets. Isn't it amazing? You know how you like all of a sudden you didn't even realize you were thinking a wrong way. And then you read the word and it's like, whoa, that just washed my brain and my spirit and my heart. Now I think differently. I encourage you to read over that passage, read over the words of Jesus, read over the whole Bible, but don't just read it as a way of like, oh, I see all the things I'm not doing. Read it in a way and in a journey, in a conversation with Jesus that says, Jesus, help me. Walk me through this. I want to be a living sacrifice. Yeah. Why don't you just close your eyes? We're going to pray and move on here. But how many in this room today would just say, you know what? I want to just renew the vision in my life of being a living sacrifice. How many just lift your hand up this morning and just say that? You know what? As they're just playing right now, I want us to pray together. And I'm going to ask everybody today, this isn't pressure, this isn't like manipulation, just very honestly, if you're here today and you want your life to be a living sacrifice, you want a new vision for that again, I'm going to ask you to come to the front where I'm at, even right now, and we're going to pray together with one another. If you're here today, and I think everybody's hand went up, so just come on down, it's all right. And this is an important thing because we don't do this alone, we do this together. We really do this together, and we need each other. So I'm asking you to just crunch in here, just come all the way down, and we're going to ask the Lord together in community today, not just an individual choice, but as a community to say, you know what, when I'm struggling, I want you to call me on some things. When I'm not living right, I want you to say, hey, in love, man, I just don't think that's right how you're talking right now. There's nothing harder than confronting someone, is there? It's a difficult thing. But when we do it in love and when we really walk in the reality that we really love people, it's easy, isn't it? And I think that we need to ask the Lord, God, give us that heart of love for each other to do this in community, to walk this out. I want to ask just everybody, because I know everybody's heart here is really to live the sacrificial life, to live a life as a living sacrifice. I'm going to ask you to get in groups of 2, 3, 4 people, even if you're still standing out there, grab hands with them, and let's just do this for 3 or 4 minutes and ask the Lord, God, help us in community today. Help us to walk this way, that our lives are not our own, that we are living sacrifices. And find out their name if you don't know them. Go ahead. I think this is real important. I'm not trying to pressure anybody, but get with some people. If you know them or don't know them, make sure nobody's left alone. Would you look around and make sure that no one's left alone? Because part of this is we really need each other in this. Yeah. Yeah, there's some people alone over on this side. If some people would go grab them. I don't want anyone left alone here today. Go ahead, Charity. Yeah, living sacrifices. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Consume us, Jesus. Consume us, Jesus.